for a few moments, I want to share some reflections, and then I'm going to invite Brother Randy Willingham to continue and give some reflections. Then I would like for us to participate in a communal activity, and then we will go and just continue our day and celebrate with a meal. Joe Pickering said, keep it short, he wants to eat. So I'm going to do that. He's got bigger biceps than me. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42, a verse that I became familiar with in the church I grew up in Linwood Church of Christ. We were a predominantly King James, New King James church. And so when this verse was introduced to me, it was introduced to me in the New King James, Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. Yeah. And the first few words, and they continued. I shared earlier during the time of communion that it was as if Jesus at the table was reminding his apostles that him leaving wasn't the end of what he came to do, but that they were going to be the continuation of what Jesus had started to do. Luke, who wrote, the author of Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, kind of sets that and makes that clear. In the beginning of Acts, he says, in the former book, I wrote what Jesus began to do. And then he lays out that Acts is going to be the continuation. But we don't see the person of Jesus in the book of Acts. We see the apostles, we see his early disciples, and we see the church. And so the church continued to do what Jesus had started to do. I want us to focus on the word continue, because today is a day that we might be tempted to attach other words to, but we would be in error to do that, because what we are doing today is really a simple following of Jesus' recommendation, his emphasis to his apostles, to his disciples, to the early church to continue. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, I think we are familiar with this passage. It says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As we embark on a journey today to recognize shepherds once again in this body, we are doing this in the vein of the words of the Apostle Paul, who says that the reason that we have preachers and teachers and shepherds is not so that we can say that we're legitimate. It's not so that we can say we have arrived. It's not so that we can say we're better at or at a better place. It's so that we will grow up. It's so that we will mature in Jesus Christ. It's so that we will become in greater ways into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It's so that we will continue. I love at the end of that passage, end of that paragraph, where Paul says, we don't recognize these different functions and gifts in the body so that they can do all the stuff. At the end, it says, each part does its work. I want you to focus on the word continue, because there is a temptation for some of us to think that this is a time of correction. It's a time of correction because we had shepherds before. They stepped down and now we got better shepherds. We've corrected the problem. No. If that's what you believe, you're in error. Some of us might think that this is a culmination. Last year, we began a process that started with stopping a process of getting new shepherds and the current shepherds stepping aside. And some of us may view this day as a culmination of all the work that we've done for the past year and a half. If that's what you believe, forgive me for being harsh when I say this, but you're in error. Some of you may think that this is the conclusion. Oh, we've done all the stuff regarding relationships, and we've done reconciliation, and we've had mediations, and we've talked about servant leadership, and we've done all the lessons, and we've done all the discussions, and we've had all the family meetings, and now we're getting shepherds. That's the end. If that's what you think, forgive me for using words that may be so strong, but you're in error, because this is not the end. This is a continuation. Still, there might be others who think that this is a coronation, where we now put crowns on the new kings of the church. I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again. There is one King. There is one Lord, and His name is Jesus Christ. This is not a coronation. This is a continuation. As we recognize shepherds today, we are simply continuing in the work that Jesus has done for us. And the minute we think that this is the end, the minute that any of us thinks that each one doesn't have to do its part, the minute that any of us thinks that we'll just let them do this stuff, the minute that we think that now I can take all my stuff to them so they can solve my stuff, is the minute we get it wrong. This is a continuation, and we will continue for the rest of our lives as long as we are breathing and talking. We've been called to continue. And as we recognize shepherds today, we recognize that they only are a part of what is going on. They are not the whole. We are the whole. And until we understand that we are the whole, we won't continue what Jesus did. You see, we've been called to continue to minister like Jesus. We've been called to love like Jesus. We've been called to serve like Jesus. We've been called to have compassion like Jesus. We've been called to be just like Jesus. We've been called to be merciful like Jesus. We've been called to go out and seek the last, the lost, and the least like Jesus. And that's so grand of a task that not just one of us can do, or two of us, or three of us. We all have to do it. Because this is a continuation. I want to introduce to you and present to you, or just reintroduce or represent to you, Dr. Randy Willingham, who has been a blessing to this church in so many ways, and has been a blessing to the kingdom of God in so many ways. It has been a journey, intersection of journeys, whereas there are instances where this body has surrounded this brother and prayed for him. No one expected that, I don't think. But the intersection of this story isn't about consultant and client. It's about brother and brothers and sisters working together in harmony and in communion. I want to present to you Dr. Randy Willingham, who will share some reflections. Again, he is a professor at Harding University and founder of Pure Heart Vision Ministries, a ministry that seeks to serve churches in the body of Christ. Dr. Randy.
Thank you, Dion. I'm just the right size, aren't I? That is so insulting. Worse yet is that you think you are the real OSU. Bill Schindel, right? I'm from Oklahoma State, so 9-0. And I was glad that the game went the Buckeye direction last night, just because I knew you'd be in a better mood today. Thank you for hosting me and the people who have taken me in and babysat me while I was here. Not this time, but all of the times. Thank you especially for your love. I have a church that I have just finished some work with. I was not the lead consultant. I was a secondary consultant. And the job was to count numbers. We look at the parking lot. We count how many cars can fit in the parking lot. We look at the seating of the auditorium and we count how many bottoms can fit on the pew. And the big question is, do you measure this by the 18-inch bottom or the 21-inch bottom? And it depends on whether or not the architect is selling or buying. We count how many people you've had attend over a 10-year period, and we look at trends, inclines, declines. That's really pretty easy. It's not much stress. It's just a matter of counting. And in that work, you are counting numbers and explaining concepts. And so as I speak to that church, concluding some work, and I have my piece to that, and I raise some questions of the heart, they get really nervous. And I am exiting the project with them, and it's come to closure unless they want to stop counting bottoms and get serious. A church that I have not yet met with, but I will be meeting with soon. It's my last congregation I'm going to connect with before the end of the year. And in my first visit, I've had all kinds of telephone calls. Are you going to teach the Bible class and do the sermon? Both? I'm willing. Sure. Okay. I get another call a little later. What are you going to say? Well, I don't know yet. It depends. It depends on what? Well, that's the purpose of the first visit, is to find out what it depends on. Okay, we're going to have a session from 9 to 4 with anybody from the church who wants to show up. Well, what are you going to do? Well, I don't know yet. It depends. What I'm really going to do is I'm going to question the heart and challenge the priorities. And so even as of last night, I had anxious calls, and I tell the individual, I say, you know, I've never seen you face to face, but I can tell a lot about your church, and I've not been there yet. You're a highly anxious church, in denial about your anxiety. A group of high achievers that use your achievement to hide from God. I don't know much about you, but I'm going to put that on the table. And if you want to talk about that, we'll talk. I don't know if I'm going to take the job or not. But if I think about a church where we count numbers, I think of a church that's anxious about raising real questions. And I think about you. In the church where we counted, in my initial reflections, I said, I can give you your identity. You are the church of the three kitchens, because they have three kitchens. And I was corrected. No, we have four. And I was corrected with the correction. No, the fourth one is not a full kitchen. It's a half kitchen. And so the big theological debate is, what is a full kitchen? If I want to describe you, I want you to hear the way I would describe you in light of a text of Scripture that has, over the years, meant so much to me. God gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. You are the church of the renewed strength. Now keep in mind, there's a difference. In a church that is strong and never spent its strength to the point of deep fatigue and exhaustion. There's a difference in that church who, if you'll notice here in this passage, it's God that gives the strength. Do you know any people who have a gift from God? They're concerned about losing, and that consumes them. And my strength comes from God. And so it is when I walk, it's when I run, it's when I take that strength, and rather than holding on to it, I translate it into doing for and with others what God is doing for and with others, that I find myself weary and exhausted and worn out. The only way God can renew our strength is if we take the strength He gives us and let it become so depleted that we are fatigued and exhausted. My strength is gone. My hope is weak. My courage has been hijacked by my fear. And yet, the one who gave me strength in the first place will, as He did before, give it again, and for the same reason, so that I can give it to others. I don't receive it to keep it and hold on to it. I receive it to lose it, to risk it. You're a church. I love what Flavio Yakeley says when he describes his own experience of being an elder and stepping down. And he tells the story of that, but Dr. Yakeley says, "You need to understand, I did not step down. I stepped aside." And there's a big difference. True shepherds don't need to be elders to be shepherds. And if they do, they reveal their true identity. Nothing can keep me from being a shepherd. And I need no one's permission. I just need to walk with God. And this church has embraced the power of humility, the risk of love, and you are a church that God has renewed with strength again. I believe because He calls you to something better. Dion mentioned this, and I would think of you this way. As you now step onto an upgraded path, it's not because of me. I know that. I'm sober about that. But it has to do with the connection of your relationship to God and your fear versus your faith and the courageous integrity choices you've made as a group of people. And God will bless you. And you are a model. You are one I want my name attached to. And I'm grateful for that attachment. You are a group that can be pointed to because you do not point to yourself. And your story won't allow that. You point in the right direction. And I see myself as a minister temporarily to you. You are and have been a minister to me. And I receive from you so much more than you have any idea. I hope that God will give you some awareness of that. That we walk together, and the only thing we are fatigued, exhausted people who are fatigued because we've chosen to surrender the strength God gives for what He says matters. And let me tell you something. When Lazarus is facing death the second time, it's just not the same. To be a church of renewed strength is exponentially more powerful than to be a strong church. My strength is renewed, or will be. My hope is strengthened, or will be. My courage will return. And I can be honest about my fears and my need for a source of power that is not me, but that comes to me by the grace and love of God. Let's pray together. So much, God, do we thank you. I just think about singing and how sometimes a song expresses that which is beyond the concepts or explanations we intellectually try to describe. Our words do fall short. Not only our words, but our efforts, our hearts, our lives fall short before you. And because you're not a man like we are, or a woman, you are a different kind of being. You are the Creator. You are the one who loves eternally. When we fall short before you, we find ourselves strangely empowered when we thought we were just in trouble. And you take our hearts and our lives, and you do something with them that is humanly impossible. We are grateful that you are real and you are present. We love you. And we thank you for renewing our strength. Let us liberally spend it, and let us receive it back in a way that is an ongoing cycle of deepened trust and sacrificial living that does not produce death, but produces life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again, Brother Randy. And I would invite you. I mean, he's going to be around for lunch, I suspect. And if you get a minute, say hi. And he always says when he comes here, he's on the clock. So ask him any question you wish. Any theological question, any question regarding the Greek. I also want to introduce to you Linda Wallingford, who serves on the board with Randy Willingham with Pure Heart Visions Ministries. And she's a member at the Fischinger and Kenny. And what I so enjoy about the Pure Heart Vision Ministry is just all the stories. And Linda, you have a remarkable story of ministry and support, and I appreciate you. We have a couple more things I would like for us to do and to consider. If you got a bulletin, in the bulletin, you should have seen a page in there that says Reynoldsburg Family Pledge. I want you to give that your attention. Back in March of 2011, I stood at this podium and tearfully shared what I thought were some major issues our church were having, and recommended had a series of recommendations, and again my feeling is that we are always going to be in a place of continuing to enact those recommendations. There isn't a place where, okay, we achieved that and we're done. We're going to keep doing that. I remember that that was a painful time. I remember shedding many tears as I wrote it, many tears as I shared it with others, many tears as I spoke it. And one of the metaphors that I had used was the metaphor of marriage and divorce. It just so happened that I think it was Kim Johnson had a class of kids that wrote some encouraging notes to Alex and Katie prior to their getting married. And as she looked through those notes, she thought that they fit our church. And I read a few of them. So we went back and researched because I didn't have those written, and I want to read some of those again. I thought they're now some of them just you'll pick up on the connection, and some of them, well, just listen. Treat each other the way you did the first day. Alex, be sure to be kind to Katie. She's only human. Don't yell at her when she makes mistakes. She picked you over thousands, so be nice. P.S. Girls love chocolate. Katie, don't be demanding. A husband isn't a slave. He most likely won't want to be there every waking second, so give the guy some time. He'll think this. P.S. Men love sports. My advice is always do what you want to do and do what the lady says, or else the lady will beat your butt and she'll have a good time doing it. Alex, never take your wife for granted. Don't say things that you'll want to take back later. Make Katie laugh. Katie, be thankful for your husband. Help keep the house clean. Make sure you don't expect Alex to read your mind. Love each other forever. Alex, get really good cake for the wedding. Get good catering for the reception. Pick a good date sport. Take her to LA for the honeymoon. Once in a while, let the girl watch Desperate Housewives. Katie, don't leave a shoe at the wedding. Once in a while, let the man watch his ESPN. Don't lose the ring down the drain. Eat the cake, smashing Alex's face with it. And the last one, don't fight. Love and care. Love and care with all your might. And don't get divorced. We thought those reflections spoke louder and more simply to our situation, because we are family. and what we are about to do is it's family. It's a family matter. We got here not because there was unanimity, not because everyone agreed that we should do this, but we got here as a family. We are not seeking unanimity. We're seeking unity. And we're seeking to be a family that will do things as a family, that will agree as a family, that will disagree as a family. When we fight, we'll fight fair. I want us to consider this Reynoldsburg Family Pledge. I want to ask Jay and Bill to come forward. And in a second, I'm going to give Jay and Bill an opportunity to share with the family from their heart. We're going to make this pledge, and what I want you to do is take a moment and read this pledge. I don't want you to say it if you can't say it. If this is something that your heart can't, you know, say because you disagree with, don't say it. This is not some magical pledge that after you say it, like some stars will fall down, and it's just words. Words come from scripture. Words that come from some thoughts I put together. I want us together as a body to say this pledge. I'm not going to ask the congregation to say a pledge and then the elders say another pledge, because we're trying to emphasize this idea that we are all the body of Christ, that it's not elders and then ministers and then the rest of the body. No, as in the words of Jay, Christ is the head and we are all in the body, elders, deacons, ministers, teachers, everyone. And so we're going to make this pledge in the body. So take a minute and read over that pledge. And after a couple minutes, I'll ask us to all stand up. And if you, again, agree with it and can't make that pledge, I'll ask all of us to read this pledge together. If you'd like to share in reading this pledge together, I ask that you stand at this time. We are the body of Christ. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and he is the head of this body. We submit to Christ, and out of reverence to Christ, we submit to one another. We commit to be the continuation of Christ's ministry. In doing so, we commit to love as Christ loved. We commit to be the hands and feet of Christ. We understand that Christ has equipped this body. He has given this body evangelists, deacons, ministry leaders, teachers, and shepherds. We understand that Christ gave us these gifts and functions. These gifts will help us grow to maturity in Christ. We commit to work hand in hand and side by side. We pledge to love the Lord our God with our hearts, souls, our mind. We are the body of Christ. Amen. You can go ahead and have a seat. I'm going to ask Jay and Bill to step to the mic and please share from your heart as you wish.
You made this kind of short.
Just hold it.
There you go. Now we get down here. Let's get back down here. Today is a great day. It's a great day because it's the day the Lord has made. And should tomorrow dawn, it's going to be a great day too. And it's going to be a great day whether we want it to be or not, because it's the day the Lord's made. As we continue this journey, I'd like to share with you an illustration. I'm going to paint a picture. And I'm not an artist, so you're going to have to use a lot of your own work in this. So it's a mental picture. And it starts off with something that over the years we've either loved or hated. I want you to picture a family meeting. At the family meeting, we're not going to be sitting like we are here, but it's a family meeting where we're sitting in a circle. We're sitting in this circle, and the circle can expand and contract. But we're looking for a circle where everybody can see each other. And at that circle, there's a place for each and every one of us. No chair is any different from the one next to it. If you get the padded chair, you're going to feel better maybe, but the chairs are alike. And as somebody else walks in, we don't put them behind the chairs, the rows. We expand outward. But the goal is that as we're at that circle together, we're sharing together. We're looking at each other. We're listening. We're holding hands. But nobody is hidden. But there's one more chair in this circle. And it's in the middle. And sitting there is Jesus. And he's on a chair that faces outward, where he can see every one of us. And as we look to our brothers and sisters around this circle, we're seeing him. And he's laughing. He's smiling. He's crying. But he's there with us. That's our family.
I'll try to get it out without a lot of emotions. I pray that y'all know that we love you. In us is a part of you because we love you. Like Bill said, we're family, and we truly need each other. Because each one of us has a gift. And we use that gift to glorify God and to lift up each other. I'll also tell you that before you stands two sinners. And I hope you know that and realize that. I hope that you never put us on a pedestal. I pray that we will all learn to work together and be committed to each other. That when one of us is hurting, all of us hurts. Because our feelings run that deep. I pray that as we continue, as this body to move forward, that we will all work together to glorify the Lord. I choose to stop here. Just know that we love you dearly. Know that we have care and concern for you, and that we, in my opinion, we always will, just as you do towards each of your brothers and sisters. Randy, I'd ask you to have a prayer for us.
God, you are clearly God. There is no other. I appreciate so much this picture in my mind of you on a chair, a throne that circles around our circle and is at the center of our being. You have called us together And we know there's a reason. We know there's a purpose. We are honored to the point of deep humility that you include us in the work that the one who created the universe is in the process of doing in the lives of people. Thank you for that grace of creating us that way. Forgive us for staining it with our attempts to take control and to sit in your seat. And redeem us, and thank you for the grace that you give as you come to us through the Lamb of Christ, your Lamb. And you recreate us. We are so thankful, and we ask that people would see what can be in their lives because of seeing you in our lives. Please bless this body with the path forward that it might be exactly as you want it to be in our certainty and uncertainty, and give us the resources and the awareness that you have given them to us so that we can move forward in your pace, in your way, under your direction. Thank you for these two shepherds and for the multiple shepherds in this church who partner together with them to deepen and broaden the impact in our lives with each other for the purpose of impacting the lives of people outside our circle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Love you, brother.
Justin is going to come forward and lead us in a closing song, and then we'll just have a final prayer, and then we'll go over next door and share something to eat. And if you're visiting with us, we want to invite you to stay and eat and get to know us. And we just want to give us an opportunity to show you who we are.